All thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. That's a summary of what we were just talking about and the hope that we have. And that we, not somebody other than us, the very selves who are sitting here in this room, if we're trusting Christ, will be wide awake and full of joy on that day. And we'll be able to look back over all things and praise God. Because we've seen it all culminate in this point where all creation praises the name of the Father in the Son by the Spirit. So praise the Lord for such a hope that the universe has a happy ending in Christ. And I'm aware that probably what we talked about last session leaves us, it's just like stirring the pond and leaves us with a lot of moving pieces. So please write down any questions that you'd have, because I'd love to, even as I was sitting over there, I was thinking, well, I'd like to comment on that and say this. So bring those up tomorrow and we can talk about them some more. But for now, we're going to look at the last of the subgenre elements. Tomorrow, for our last session, we'll kind of do a summary message that pulls together everything that we've seen. But tonight, we're looking at that last one of the subgenres, which is praise. So remember that what we're talking about, what this whole series is about, is having our hearts shaped, having our soul shaped by the Psalms, so that, internally, not pasted on the surface, but internally, we become the sort of people who have a heart like our Lord, because the Psalms are the reflection of his heart, so that when we pour out our hearts in prayer, or in worship, or in lament, or whatever else, it's in the form that he's given to us. It's in the shape that he's given to us. And remember that the subgenres were lament, which starts in the depths of the night, and we looked at repentance as well. And then there's trust, which it's still in the night, but my focus is on the coming dawn, on the sure dawn of God's faithfulness in Christ. Then there's thanks, which is the sun has risen and I can praise and thank God for what he's done. And in Christ, we just said, that extends to all ways and all things. And then the culmination, the flowering of the Psalms is praise. That's the place it's going. That's the goal it's headed to. Remember that whole shape of Psalms is one that lifts God's people out of lament to a place of praise. So, the structure of the book of Psalms teaches us that the goal of God's prayer and songbook, the purpose of God's prayer and songbook that he's inspired for his people, is to bring them to a place where with sincerity, they're able to praise the name of Yahweh. They're able to praise the Father and the Son by the Spirit. It would be a way that we would say it. To see and to savor his supremacy as valuable. And we know that, like I said, because even the structure of the Psalms, the shape from lament to praise, but then remember how there's five books in the Psalms, it's broken up into five books. Each of those books concludes with a doxology. So each one of those books concludes with a praise to the Lord, which is marking this book as a book that leads to praise. And then the final book ends with five psalms, each of which begin and end with praise, with doxology. So this book of Psalms is meticulously put together to teach God's people, I'm moving you to a place of praise. And he doesn't want to do that artificially. He doesn't want to say, hey, praise the Lord, isn't it great? He meets us in our lament. But his purpose is to bring us to a place of praise, just like he meets us in the suffering on the cross to bring us through that to himself. And maybe briefly, just to hammer home the point, you probably know this, but the final psalm, Psalm 150, I'll just read it for you. Tell me what the theme is. Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his mighty deeds, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with trumpet sound, praise him with lute and harp, praise him with tambourine and dance, Praise him with strings and pipe. Look at all these arts that are being brought together. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's where this psalm book, this songbook of God's people, that's where it's headed. And it's inspired by God. It's inspired by the Spirit, which means this is where God is wanting to bring his people, to bring us to a place where we can praise him for who he is as he's manifested that in what he's done. So what we're going to look at today is first the structure of the Psalms of Praise, as we've been doing, and we'll use Psalm 146 as our case study. And then secondly, we'll look at one specific implication, perhaps a surprising implication, that the Psalms of Praise have for our lives. And then you may have a third point that talks about seeing how all of reality is a hymn of praise, but we don't have time for that, so I had to cut it out. But we could talk about it tomorrow. We've really already talked about it this evening. So we're just going to do those first two, the structure of the Psalms of Praise, and then an implication for our lives. And the structure, how about before I get to the structure, we give ourselves a definition of praise, because that is important. What do we mean? I think a good way to come at praise is by looking at something praise is closely connected to, which is worship. Worship, you've heard lots of definitions for it. I think one that's helpful is that worship is the whole-souled treasuring, the whole-souled treasuring of something, and any thoughts or words or deeds that flow out of that treasuring. Worship is to treasure something with all that we are, and everything that comes out of that treasuring is also worship, is an expression of worship. So this is how people can talk about all of life being worship, because all of life is to be, the engine of life is this valuation of who God is in Christ by the Spirit, and all that we do is an expression of that. My talking, my eating, my drinking, my laughing, my crying, my choosing is growing out of this supreme valuation of who God is in Christ. So worship is the overarching idea. Praise, then, is one of the things that flows out of worship. Praise is one of the branches, you could say, on the tree of worship. Praise happens when we declare or proclaim the excellence of the object of our worship. So, maybe to give an example, in marriage, the analogy for worship in this example is the husband's love for his wife. I'm not saying he should worship her, but his love for her is the analogy for worship. And best case scenario, it's not the case always, everything he's doing ought to be coming out of his love for her. His choices, his plans, his purposes ought to be coming out of his love for his wife, which is his commitment to do whatever it takes to satisfy her in Christ. But that's for other times. Everything he's doing should be flowing out of his love for her. Now, one of the things he might do as an expression of his love for her is tell somebody how good she is. To say, hey, well, yeah, I mean, this is what my wife did. This is what she brings to our home. This is what she brings to my life. That's one of the expressions of his love for her. And so his love for her would be an analogy for worship. That's the overarching reality. One of the expressions of that, when he speaks about the object of his love, that would be the analogy for praise. So all praise is worship, but not all worship is going to be praise. That would be one way to think about it. So when we talk about praise today, because I'm just going to use the shorthand of praise, what we mean is a declaration or a proclamation or a communication, a putting out of the excellencies of the one whom our soul has come to treasure. Praise is that proclaiming the excellence of the object of our worship. It's inherently communicative. Praise is communicative. So the structure of the Psalms of Praise is incredibly simple. It's a summons to praise, it's the reasons to praise, and it's another summons to praise. Yeah, there'll be variations, but in general, the Psalms of Praise follow that broad pattern. A summons, the reasons, and a concluding summons. So let's look at that in Psalm 146. And as I read this, see if you can find, okay, that's the summons, okay, here's the reasons, and there's the concluding summons. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners, those who don't have anyone else. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. So you can see that pattern, the summons, the reasons, the summons. So let's look at them in part. First, the summons. Notice that it's to others as well as to the self. So he says, praise the Lord, and that's addressed outward to others. Praise the Lord. But then he turns inward and says, praise the Lord, O my soul. So there's outward and inward call, summons to praise. So one thing to see here is that psalms of praise and praise to the Lord is to be done in community. It can be done individually, but it's to be done in community. And when we praise the Lord together, part of what we're doing is inviting each other, inviting others to praise. So when we sing holy, holy, holy all together, it's not just me in my individualized box praising. I'm praising together with people. And my praise is implicitly an invitation to them to join and to praise. But then he doesn't just look around and say, praise the Lord. He looks in and he says, praise the Lord, O my soul. And this is where we see that the Psalms of Praise are used, just like, remember I said yesterday, the Psalms of Thanks are sometimes the way the Lord softens our cold heart and helps us become a kind of people who thank. Same here. The Psalms of Praise are sometimes the blowing of the Spirit on the dead coals of our heart to kindle a spirit of praise, to kindle our worship. So we look inside and we think, I'm not ready to praise him with what I'm bringing with me or what I'm going through. But the Psalms of Praise turn inward and say, look to our soul and say, praise the Lord, O my soul. It's blowing on those dying coals, or sometimes it needs to be a more violent, taking the soul by the lapels. Praise the Lord. Snap out of it and praise him. But sometimes it's not that easy to just be told, praise the Lord, and your soul says, okay, all right, I'll do that. It's not that easy. It's like sometimes starting an engine that's been idle over winter. I once tried to borrow this guy's weed eater, and it was the beginning of spring, and I just was trying for like half an hour to get this thing started because you needed to prime it first. And so sometimes our soul is like that. We say, praise the Lord, soul, and it doesn't, it can't. And it needs to be primed. And one of the ways our soul can be primed to praise the Lord is by recounting reasons we ought to praise him, by speaking to ourselves the reasons to praise. And so that then moves to that second part, the summons to praise, outward and inward, but then the reasons to praise the Lord. And this is really the heart of the Psalms of Praise. If you remember writing papers in school, or maybe some of you are doing them now, maybe some of you have them due soon, you have the body of your paper. That's where the center, that's where all that your real writing happens. That's the heart of it. Similarly, for the Psalms of Praise, the heart or the body, where all the content is, that comes in this second section, the reasons to praise the Lord. And when we give reasons to praise the Lord, we're remembering why we ought to, but also, think about it, we're proclaiming why he's praiseworthy. We are actually praising him when we give the reasons to praise him. When we say, he is like this, he has done this, he is like this, we're giving our soul and others reasons to praise him, but we're actually praising him when we're doing that. So the reasons to praise the Lord are praising him. So look at verses, really it starts in 5. Just listen to the praises he gives, and it's like you think about a fire. This is like throwing logs on that fire so that it can eat the logs and grow up and be a strong fire of worship to the Lord. So he says, blessed is he. And imagine praying this when you are downcast. You almost have to force these words out. But see what the Spirit might use these words to do in a cold heart as we speak them by faith. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who execute justice for the oppressed, and he gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widows and the fatherless, not just the physical widows and fatherless, but those who are widowed or fatherless in any way, spiritually, emotionally. He upholds the widows and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. So, proclaiming these reasons is a way of melting the ice around the cold heart that isn't able to praise him so that it's brought to a place where it can praise him. And I can say this from experience, as we take these Spirit-inspired words on our lips and let them trickle down into our hearts, they thaw the ice of praiselessness and they bring about a spirit of praise, because that's what the Spirit's given them to do. So there's the summons, praise the Lord. And then there's the reasons to praise him, which are in fact the praising of him. And then there's the concluding summons again. 146:10, praise the Lord. Now, the repetition of the summons at the beginning and the end is a reminder to us that Psalms of Praise are not just declarations of the Lord's excellence, but they're also calls for others to recognize his excellence. So the Psalms of Praise are not just teaching us how to proclaim the excellence of the Lord. They actually are a call that others would recognize his excellence. And that's summed up in a word that you probably know. Maybe we sang it today or yesterday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if your version translates verse 1 or the end of verse 10 as hallelujah. It might just be praise the Lord, all caps. But the Hebrew behind whatever English is there is hallelujah. And what hallelujah means, the hallelujah, is a command to many. It's a plural imperative saying, praise, you all praise. That's what hallelujah is. And then Yah is the shortened version of Yahweh, Yahweh's name. So hallelujah is a command to others, you all praise Yahweh. So when we say hallelujah, we are saying ourselves and others, we're saying praise Yahweh, praise the one true God. And it's not just an expression of, I am praising Yahweh, it is that, but it's also, you all praise Yahweh. It's a call to others to praise the Lord. So then what this means is that the Psalms, which the Spirit of God inspires, are filled with, aimed toward, and climactically conclude in a command to recognize and rejoice in the supremacy of Yahweh. That's the theme of the song and prayer book that God gives his people. Hallelujah, all praise Yahweh, is the heartbeat of the Psalms. It's the heartbeat of the prayer book of God's people. And if our passions and our priorities and our purposes are being formed by this book, as is the goal of this series, then increasingly our heartbeat will be hallelujah, praise Yahweh, all praise Yahweh, to know and worship him more and more ourselves, and to call others to know and worship him. That's the heart the Psalms is seeking to form in the covenant people of God. Now, for us, when we say hallelujah, when we call someone to praise Yahweh, we recognize that can't happen. You cannot obey the command, hallelujah, apart from the gospel, apart from believing in Jesus Christ. Why? Because to praise Yahweh, you must know him. And to know him, once Christ has come, the only way to know him is to know him in the crucified and risen Jesus. You do not know Yahweh unless you know him in the man who was slain and risen. And to know him in the crucified, risen Jesus doesn't just mean, like the demons, to say, he's the Son of God. But to know Yahweh truly is to know him in the crucified and risen Jesus as our Lord and our God, who died in our place, under our sin, under our punishment, and rose again to bring us into right relationship with him. Unless we have recognized Yahweh in the slain and risen Christ who has gathered us to himself by grace, we don't know Yahweh. And so the only way to obey the command, praise Yahweh, praise the Lord, is to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and to receive Christ as Lord and God and Savior. We could, I won't say summarize because it's a lot longer, but we could restate the call of hallelujah in this way. Instead of praise Yahweh, we could say, behold the all-surpassing excellence of the one true God in his Son who was crucified in your place and who now stands in risen victory so that you might enter into the joy of God's own triune life. And beholding God in Christ by the Spirit, treasure him with everything that you are. Now that's, we're not, hallelujah is shorter. But the idea is, know God in Christ through the Spirit, treasure God in Christ through the Spirit, proclaim God in Christ through the Spirit. That's what we're saying when we say hallelujah. And so the Psalms of praise and the whole book of Psalms, which is about getting us to that place of praise, the Christian recognizes, is about believing and proclaiming the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. That's what this whole book is bringing us to. Because to praise Yahweh is to know him in the crucified and risen Jesus. So what I want to do then as we close is look at what this means, that the Psalms of praise actually turn us out in evangelism. They turn us out into proclamation of Christ. So I think it's point three on your notes. It might seem strange to conclude a talk about the Psalms of praise with an application of evangelism, or if evangelism leaves a bad taste in your mouth, which it ought not, but it might, think of commending Christ to people. So the Psalms of praise lead us to commend Christ to people because the Psalms of praise are inherently not just us praising the Lord, but a call to others to praise him. And our praise of the Lord and our proclamation of the Lord are inseparably bound. If we're praising him, we're proclaiming him. The two are inseparably bound. To see that, we'll go to Psalm 96 as our final text. Psalm 96, verses 1 through 3. Just see the parallelism here between praising and proclaiming. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. So proclaim, proclaim, proclaim. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all peoples. So through parallelism, this psalm is saying, our singing to the Lord is our proclaiming of his salvation. It's our proclaiming of what he's done. When I say, this is what he has done, I'm praising his name. And when I praise his name, I'm saying, this is what he has done. And for the Christian, to say, this is what he has done, means to say, he is the God who took on flesh, bore my sin, died in my place, rose again to show me his beauty in himself. So for the Christian, praising the Lord is proclaiming his salvation. It is to speak the gospel of Christ. And I find this very freeing when it comes to wondering how evangelism works. Our praise is our proclamation, and our proclamation is praise. So think about it this way. What does evangelism look like? Think about someone who has a favorite sport team. Where I come from, I would have said the Buckeyes, but I don't know what the big sport team that instantly divides everyone is here. But just think of a sports team, and think of someone at work who is just nuts about these guys. And last night there was a big game, and they almost got beat, but then they came back and won. When that guy goes into work, or that lady goes into work, they don't come up and say, hey, the Buckeyes, I got to tell you, the Buckeyes are really good, and you should like them as much as I do. Okay, I'll talk to you later, and leave. That's like the awkward kind of evangelism, sports evangelism. But you don't see that. That's not how they do it. They say, it was awesome. You wouldn't believe what I saw. You wouldn't believe how it went down. This is they proclaim in their praising. In their praising of that team, they are proclaiming the excellence of that team. And they're inviting others to praise that team as well. Similarly, for us, if we would be witnesses to Christ, we don't have to bind ourselves up in awkward knots of wondering, you know, do I have to say this here or this here? We want to be the sort of people who have seen the excellence of God in Christ, who have been enamored by the excellence of God in Christ. And if that's happening, we will be the kind of people who proclaim him, who speak of him, who overflow in declaration of what he's like, in commending him to others. So if we have seen and savored his excellence, we will sing of him. And not meaning we'll sing worship songs at work, but it means that we'll take the opportunity to speak of the excellence of the one who's captivated our soul. So that's this concept here that we're being called to. If we are being aligned to the heartbeat of the Psalms, and so are cultivating hearts that are increasingly enamored with God in Christ, we will overflow with words and ways that extol the excellencies of God. Our praise will be our proclamation. But then, just to finish up, not only is our praise of the Lord our proclamation of his gospel, our proclamation of what he's done in Christ and who he is in Christ, but the essence of the gospel that we proclaim is to call others to praise the Lord. The essence of our gospel is to invite others into a place where they too are marked by the desire to know and praise this God. Verses 7 through 9 of Psalm 96. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. This is the psalmist looking out to the nations that don't yet know him. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory that's due his name. So evangelism, the commending of Christ, the invitation of others to know this Savior, is not primarily saying, hey, flee judgment. Hey, get away from judgment. That's part of it. That happens. But the essence, the heartbeat of the gospel proclamation is to say to others, ascribe to Yahweh the glory due his name. Know and treasure this supremely valuable God. And that's important to see, because if we think the essence of the gospel is, I got to get people out of hell, then some problems can come from that we could talk about sometime. But Scripture, I believe, would show us the emphasis of why we commend Christ, though getting out of hell happens, is to say, look at the beauty of this God. You too worship him. You too know him. You too be satisfied in him. So I want to end with these words from Isaiah 55, which I think is one of the most beautiful invitations to Christ, certainly in the Old Testament, perhaps in all of Scripture. Isaiah 55, 1 through 3. Come, everyone who thirsts. And this is the heart the Lord's forming in us, and this is the heart the Lord has toward us. He says it to us tonight. Come, everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters, and he who has no money. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. So the call, don't die, is there. But the emphasis of the invitation is come be satisfied in who God is for us in Christ. And so, the Psalms of Praise, the goal of the Psalms of Praise, hallelujah, praise to Yahweh, and the goal of the gospel of Jesus Christ are the same thing. Bringing people to a place where they've recognized who the one true God is as he's revealed in his Son, and recognizing that, they are enamored, they are caught up, they are fascinated and captivated, and their lives are then a proclamation, an overflow of this. And so I pray that's what's happening. As our passions and priorities and purposes are being formed, that the shape of our soul is more and more hallelujah, praise to Yahweh. And only he can do that. So let's ask him to help that happen, and then we will be done with our time together for tonight. Father, I believe, I speak for the majority of my brothers and sisters when I say we want to grow in these things. We want to be people, not people who invent a God that they love and then live for that God, but people who have seen and heard and received your revelation of who you are from your word and in your Son and by your Spirit. And Lord, that having received that, we would be a people who are caught up in that, who are marked by that, and whose desire is to call others by self-giving love, by self-sacrificing love, to call and to invite others to also see who we have seen, to also taste what we have tasted, and to also rest where we rest, in your crucified and risen Son. Lord, form this in us. And thank you that if we are trusting you, however we're struggling, however we're stumbling, you are bringing us through to a place of great glory, great joy, great beauty in your Son. Thank you, Father. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.